My name is Angus Haggerty, and the title of my living book is Remembrance, Pass It On. And if you're attending services tomorrow at the Cenotaph, you'd probably find a little bulletin cover much like this that simply says, Remembrance, Pass It On. And that's the important theme for me, to be able to pass on the benefits that's been passed to me. In speaking with young people, it's always good to emphasize that you make the right choice. And everybody gets a chance to make their choice. To always do the right thing. There was a song when I was about your age, growing up in my native Scotland. The song simply said a line that, if I can help somebody as I travel along, then my living has not been in vain. I've never forgotten those lines, and it's been an important one for me. Remembrance Day is tomorrow, and the whole country will be remembering our men and women who served and who gave their lives. We salute their service by remembering, and I've been so pleased at your assembly this morning to see you take part in that here at the school. It's my hope and my prayer that you'll never take this for granted. In your young lives, as you grow up and go to different schools and different grades, you'll be learning many things. But I do pray that you'll never take your benefits of this great country for granted. So be thankful. The veterans that we remember, they fought for you and your family. And so they need to teach you the importance of remembering, and then for you to pass it on to others. I'm sure the veterans would say that if they were asked, if they had to do it again, they would gladly do it. And so we just salute their service. All gave some, and some gave all. And we remember them with great thankfulness. I want to tell you a little bit about my early school days. It was just towards the end of the Second World War. In my hometown, I had to take a gas mask to school. And so carry that with me every day. Because sometimes there would be an air raid upon the town. And of course, the windows in our schools, the roof in our school, were all camouflaged. And so to make the place look like it was part of the country from a high-flying aeroplane. If a raid was going to take place, a siren would sound. And I lived in a small town. And so the siren would go and you would hear it all over town and you knew what that siren meant. And so teachers like Mr. Lister and others would usher all the children into the shelters that were nearby. But from here, perhaps about half a block away, concrete bunkers that were built. And we were ushered in there for safety. And so we stayed there until the all clear sounded. A second siren would go when the all clear was given. I must say, too, that after the war was over, those shelters made great places for us children to play. And so we had many happy memories there. The reason the enemy planes came or were looking for my hometown was because we had a torpedo factory in town. It was just a few meters from my home. And so that I had to pass by this great big torpedo factory every time going to school. I think I was a little too young to realize the danger. But these torpedoes were sent to the Royal Navy. And so the Navy could use those submarines as they fought the war. Sometimes, or quite often, an air raid would happen at night time, in the darkness. And the enemy felt that would be the best time to attack. My parents had to quickly get us up in the wee hours, get us dressed, and quickly go down the stair to the backyard, where there'd be another little shelter built into the ground. And we would meet there, and other families from the neighborhood would meet there as well. Fortunately, there was no direct hit. Had there been, I certainly wouldn't be with you today. But I remember as a boy looking out at the edge of that shelter, and I could see the bombs that had hit and exploded in the hill surrounding. The enemy planes had misread their charts, and so they dropped the bombs and hit the surrounding hills because they were after the torpedo factory. That was an important strategic place to knock out of commission. I said they were under a blackout as well. You weren't allowed to turn the light on. You had to have black drapes in your window. And so that if a light did shine, then the enemy could probably see that. And if the military in the local area were going by and they saw a light, they really could shoot you on sight, because you may be a spy trying to alert the enemy where to hit. One of the great days in my life was when the war ended. What a great time that was. And I remember the school gave us some ice cream. I never had any ice cream before that. Can you imagine living a life without ice cream? They pretty hard to do, wasn't it? And the streets in the evening were just filled with people dancing and just having all sorts of celebrations. And it was a wonderful time. My dad worked in a steel factory, and so he made parts for the great ships that were so urgently needed. And his ships were sunk in the sea of battle, so it was an ongoing need for them. One area that was hit was a town called Clydebank, where there was a lot of shipbuilding. And the enemy planes hit the shipyards pretty bad. And a lot of the homes were bombed. And many of the people were evacuated from that town to my hometown. In fact, they had to close some of the schools for a few weeks, because that's where we had to house people as they're being evacuated from their destruction. Of course, once the war ended and the celebration was ongoing, but then came the other need, that there were shortages of all sorts of basic food items. And the government issued ration books for every man, woman, and child in the area. And so my mother, when she would do her shopping, would have to not only have some money, but have a ration book and have coupons. And there'd be coupons for bread, for milk, for butcher meat, and yes, even coupons for candy. And so everything was scarce. I can remember the store shelves being bare. And then when the truck would come in to deliver its goods, there would be a lineup to go and purchase these things. If a person used up their monthly allocation of coupons, even with money on hand, they still couldn't purchase. So there was a lot of sharing between family and friends, and we really had to be kind and helpful to one another. And I hope that that's going to be one of your characteristics as you grow and develop in your life, to always be kind, to do the right thing, and to help one another. Of course, gradually, things started to improve, getting back to some sense of normal living. But always on November 11th, at 11 a.m., at the cenotaph in my hometown, there would be a remembrance, and everybody gathered there. And children dare not move. The teacher didn't have to keep telling you not to move, but you stood there still at 11 o'clock to remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. And so tomorrow I hope and pray that as some of you go to these events, and I'm sure this young lady in the Sea Cadets will be attending, and that's good. But to remember that the price that was paid, and we should never take it for granted. So I can remember that when television eventually came, I was born in a day when there was no TV. Can you imagine not having TV? But I remember seeing a newscast, and at 11 o'clock in some other town, when the buses would stop wherever they were, and the driver would get out of his cabin and stand beside his bus while the bell struck for 11 a.m. on the 11th month at the 11th hour. Certainly this is a deep impression on my life, and I hope you young people never have to face the horrors of war, but remember, as you remember, that you can pass on. I try to pass on to my children, my grandchildren, who in turn will influence others and pass on to them. And you young people, you're our most important resource. You're our next generation. You're our leaders. You're the ones that will help us as we grow old. So school is important, and it's important to choose a career that will help the country and each person do the right thing. My dad always made the emphasis that we boys that would stay on in school or go to university. And so it was important for us to learn these things. Once I turned 21, I had to do 2 years in the British Army. It was a compulsory that they took you away from home and gave you training for 2 years. Thankfully, it was not a time during war. But nevertheless, I soldiered for a couple of years with the military, and I think it helped me appreciate a little more what troops had to go through. So I just want to thank you for this opportunity. Thank Mr. Lister for inviting me. I thought when he contacted me, he was going to invite me to go for a run with him, but not today. But boys and girls, always do the right thing. And remember that line, if I can help somebody as I travel along, then my living has not been in vain, and as will yours. Thank you so much.